This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Holler. Yamming on that fucking Nyla bone.
Also, Artie's got the Nyla bone dug so deep into my dick.
I want to say it really is phallic. Like, you have your legs crossed, the Nyla bone is sticking straight up, and Artie's just grapefruiting it. That voice you heard is writer, comedian, podcaster, and newly LA, well, I guess you've been for a while, but now you're outward a little more about your local politics, your local issue, kind of.
Yeah.
You're my go-to guy for LA information.
That's so sad.
You and Trevor Noah is where I get all my info. Guys, that's Hayes Davenport in the studio.
Hi, John.
Hayes Davenport is one of my favorite names to say. I don't like to say just Hayes.
I still don't like it. I use a fake name in the service industry. I say Jeff.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to say my name. That's fair.
Yeah.
I say Gabe.
Oh, really? Instead of John?
Yeah, because when I say John, there's always like two guys go up to get the coffee.
Yeah,
you know
sure,
what I mean? So
right.
I'm like, just less Gabes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. My name is a whole nother issue. Introducing myself is something I've still yet to figure out.
Because you don't know whether to say you are Gabrus.
Right, because like the situation that always makes sense is if three people are my friends and a fourth person shows up, that's when I say, hey, I'm Gabrus.
Sure.
Because they would already be calling me that. But then when I like show up on set, I'm like, hi,
hey,
I'm
Gabrus.
And I go, hi, I'm John Gabrus. And I go, hi, I'm Gabrus. And they're like, ooh, what kind of name is that? And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Now I'm the actor who pretends he's more ethnic than he is.
Right.
Now I'm fucking Leslie
You're like
conning
a Slovenian
myself.
Guy or something.
It's Gabrus. Me, Gabrus. Please book me pilot season. The most offensive. That would be a character that would dupe fucking Republicans on Who Is America.
Yes.
It's me, Gabrus. A real person.
Yeah, something that's only like 5% different from Borat.
I know, it's so funny.
But they still fall for it.
I just watched the show the whole time going, how are they not?
How?
Look at his fucking forehead.
Yeah, the Israeli guy voice is the same voice as the Borat voice. It looks crazy. We talk about it all the time, that it's just another head on top of his head.
It's so big.
It's like 300% bigger
than a normal
head. Is
that
where
his mic pack is or something? Because it's like so fucking big. Yeah.
And you can also, and in that kind of makeup, you have to emote so much more.
Yeah.
Just to look even half normal.
He's like dead from the nose up.
Because the face can't move. So behind the eyes, he has to be like doing these crazy faces and stuff just to make the makeup move.
People are fucking crazy. The show is not as good as the tweet that goes out the week of the show. That's my hot take on Who Is America.
That's most of what I've seen of it.
Right. You watch a tweet and you're like, this is wild.
Someone quote tweeting it and just saying like, oh my God. And then you watch like a 4-minute clip and you're like, holy shit, this is amazing.
And then you watch the other 28 minutes and it's sort
of part of the show.
Similar. Yeah.
Which sucks for them because normally that would be fine. If you were to watch the entire show and there would be like 4 minutes of it, that's great.
That's a high hit rate.
Yes, that's a great show. But now you just watching it on Twitter has made the experience of watching the whole thing.
Because anything
worthless.
That happens when you're watching it that isn't as good as that, you're like, well, I'm waiting for that part. Then when that part comes, you go, I saw that part already.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Bummer.
It's a bummer. Mm-hmm. That's the major issue I was talking about. When I was talking about local LA issues. It's mostly Hollywood development. Here's another local issue I have. What's up with fucking Burbank, huh? How far away? No.
LA stuff and like city plan. I find all this stuff is like very depressing, but in a lot of ways less depressing than what's going on in our careers, like in the TV and like comedy industry,
right? And so. And maybe less depressing than global national politics.
It feels like you can at least do more about it. That's what I really like.
This is where a lot of this podcast episode, guys. Hayes has been on before. This is a return. If you want, this will be the second episode in a row with you where you are informed on something, and I'm just excited to talk to you about it. We talk newspaper comics, and I knew like four.
That's right. We hit a wall pretty quickly on that.
And again, we're doing that again. But
You're the one who I saw a tweet one time a while back, and it like lit me up a little bit, where you said something that can make the fucking impending doom of the path America's on, yeah, that can make it feel more manageable, is to shrink it down to your local, like, what change can you make,
right,
on a local level that improves other people's lives and society.
That was the day Anthony Kennedy said that he was retiring from the Supreme Court, and everyone, right, was just like, we're fucked. But that morning I had gone to this meeting with like my local county supervisor about getting an access center for homeless people in the neighborhood, and walked out of the meeting, saw my phone that had like the update about it, but I felt like sort of insulated from that because I'd been like involved in like this local thing that, right, felt like the ball was moving on that a little bit. So I don't know, it just makes you feel a little less helpless.
Progress is it's a little bit more than just phone banking or donating.
Yeah.
If you go local, you can like voice your opinion,
yeah,
to people.
Sure.
You can hear other people's opinions. You can be opened up to new ideas easier.
Yes.
Because it's like, it's right there for you to go see.
Yeah.
You
call your senator and some poor kid answers the phone and it's just like, hello.
And you're like, release the Kavanaugh papers. Yes. Goodbye.
They've just been hearing this all day long. They're so tired. They're like, your senator probably already agrees with you. But yeah. You call like your local city council person or whatever, there's a chance they'll answer the phone. Yeah. You're like, hello? Yeah. Like, just shocked that the phone is ringing at all.
Hello? Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is your city. Sorry. I'm in the middle of a coffee. I'm like a barista as well. So just let me call you back in 5.
Yeah. And you can recommend something to them. And they're like, oh, yeah, I never really considered that. That sounds great.
Because they don't have teams of like, they don't have special interest groups pushing on. I mean, I'm sure there is.
They
on a
do
smaller
have some.
Scale.
It's just a smaller scale.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, everything's smaller.
So we want to talk about LA housing in particular because,
yeah,
it sort of encompasses, and it's one of those like looking at it on the micro is sort of, you can see it spread across all of America. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think every city is a little different in terms of what's going on in its housing situation, but what's happening in LA applies to most like major job centers, and,
right,
any like growing city is kind of going through this same thing.
Yes.
So you have like LA, San Francisco, New York, housing is like incredibly expensive, way too expensive in all those places.
Like, that's the all people talk about. It's like the, yep, go-to bit is more so than traffic, I think, now.
Yeah.
Like, the go-to LA bit is,
any,
like
car share driver, that's going to come up at,
yeah,
some point.
Yeah, this house is one point. Well, like, I live in West Hollywood, and,
yeah,
I thought I could afford, like, I moved here only 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And my rental apartments around me in the same building have gone up so much, but I have, like, that weird thing where they can only do a small percentage each year because I'm not moving or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, there's, like, slight rent control or something.
Sure.
And saving my life. But I'm like, me and my wife make great money.
Yeah,
like,
isn't it crazy? You and Tiff, double income.
Yeah, no kids.
No kids. Action Boys doing great. I'm watching that number go up all the time. You think?
Don't get into this whole show me the number.
Just about anywhere else, you would think that you guys would be top of the list to be just like walk into basically any,
yeah,
you, normal size house.
40% down on a house.
Oh my god. Yes.
The thing that really opened my eyes was one of the things, that show Fixer Upper with Chip,
yeah,
and Joe Gaines.
Oh my god.
It takes place in Waco, Texas, and, oh, they're like, okay, so your first option is this 7-bedroom, 4-acre property on a lake. It's $319,000.
Yes.
It's like, wait, what, dude?
Yeah. Yeah. So I listened to this great housing podcast about California called Gimme Shelter, and they talked about a story recently. You know, Jordy Nelson, used to be wide receiver for the Packers, and now he's a wide receiver in Oakland. And he sold his like 7-bedroom mansion in Green Bay for like $350,000. And now has moved to Oakland, where that will get you like a house, a shack that burned down.
Yeah. That's $350,000 is like a down payment,
yes,
on a
that
4
goes
bedroom.
Nowhere.
Yeah,
it would be, yeah, cheaper for him to commute
from Green Bay. Right. He probably has good miles.
Yeah. Which people do in San Francisco. They're hiring people out of like Texas and places like that now. And they're saying, you work 2 days a week, we'll fly you in and out. Way cheaper than trying to buy property there. But places like Austin, Portland, Seattle are
all
like going through this more as they're,
all
as they're
them,
growing.
All the cities on their glow up,
yes,
are. And
Vegas has a huge problem now.
Really? Because I thought,
yeah,
for a while Vegas had
shortage.
Like over like too many homes were like empty.
It's the fastest growing like large county in the country.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of that is LA overflow. So the biggest three are Vegas, Phoenix, Maricopa County, and Riverside.
And is that all because LA overflow?
It's not all of it,
but it is. Those are three cities close to LA.
It's a big part of it. Yeah.
Jesus.
The cities close to LA where they are actually doing a lot of building.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So people just showed up and overran it.
Damn. Yeah. Like, and the main, the other thing that triggered this conversation was some piece of information I gained from you about the whole thing that every new apartment that's built is required to have a parking space.
One and a half parking spaces per unit.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. I didn't even know it's that. So,
yeah.
So like for the listener, imagine that just adds to the square footage that an apartment is.
Yes.
In price wise.
And that's first floor real estate
yeah,
for parking, which is more expensive. It's like 800 extra square feet. Like
that you're paying for but not living in.
Yes, that you're not living in.
So for the carless, and because how are we still in, and you talk about this on your podcast, the LA podcast.
Yeah.
How are we still so car contingent? Like,
yeah.
Doesn't everyone talk about how much it sucks to drive anywhere in LA?
I know. And like you have like your situation here. You mostly work out of this room.
Right.
You can walk to everything.
Yes.
Like right around you. The scooters are showing up. So anything that's like a mile away, you could take
Scoot
one
to.
Of those. Yeah. But still, like if people, you know, I'm dealing with this. This morning, I talked to an extended family member who I won't name, who owns property in Silver Lake, lives out of town, but owns property in Silver Lake. He's coming into town this week because they're having a meeting about a new building that's going up on the street.
In Silver Lake.
In Silver Lake. All the local homeowners are having a meeting to try and fight this project, make it smaller. It's three stories right now. They want to make it two. They want it to have more of a setback so it's not like right up against the street, and to add more parking spaces. And that happens with every project in the city, local neighborhood associations, like everyone who lives around a project.
They don't want things coming in because they assume more apartments means more people, means more traffic, more cars, more blah, blah.
Yes, it's crazy how much, like, people, you know, you talk about, like, xenophobia and not wanting, like, poor people who live in apartments into your neighborhood, but I think, that is part of it.
That is part of it, but LA has, like, that slight tweak that even the rich people only live in three-bedroom houses, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like, if you make six figures a year, you still live in, like, a two- or three-bedroom
house.
Totally,
and I think a lot of it is just, like, longer lines at the grocery store.
Right.
Like, that's what people are kind of freaked out about. So the single family thing is really important in LA, obviously. 80% of LA city is zoned for single family homes. So the vast majority of the city is just like you were saying, like just a house.
Right.
And places like this that you live in, which how many units?
This is a 10 unit.
10
apartment.
Units are in most neighborhoods illegal to build anymore. So probably in this neighborhood, if this place got torn down, you probably couldn't build an equally sized unit.
I wonder, because
in its place,
there's something going in a little further down the street that is a huge double lot. It's like both sides, like the front and back, like, and they took it all out and they're excavating deep. And I'm like, are they putting in an apartment building? Because that doesn't sound right. Because everything that goes up in my neighborhood a lot of neighborhoods are those like filled to the brim McMansions where they don't, where I guess for people who don't want yards.
Uh-huh.
And
or they just want more square footage for the lot. Yeah.
For it's got to be for like to hold on to sell again, right? Because like, no one wants to live in a place that's 5,000 square feet if you have no yard and your like kitchen window is a foot from your neighbor's house.
Right.
Like, I don't understand how people want to live like that.
Yeah.
Except that on paper, it looks fucking cool as hell to say I have a 4,000 square foot house or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. But then you go there and you're like, you don't have a pool. You don't have like a yard. You don't have a place for a dog to go. Like,
right.
What the fuck?
I mean, and that is considered in LA, like kind of what everyone should have. I mean, that was kind of like the idea of LA in the first place is that everyone could move here and get their little lot. You get your house, you get your yard, you get your pool, the whole thing. But at the same time, second biggest city in America, major metropolitan like job center, should we be thinking of ourselves as a little more like New York?
Right.
Where, you know, you, like, privacy should just not be something we are thinking about so much. Like, everyone like talks about, oh, like, this person can see into my window.
Yeah, or is that, like, the, a big is problem. That city life?
Okay, yeah, quote, is it just living in a city? When you're in New York, like, everyone's just naked, looking at each other naked all the time. I couldn't believe it. I was living there last year. I could see out. I had, like, a picture window.
And you had
window.
Not lived there previously, right?
No.
Except for, like, work.
Just, like, stuff. Little, yeah, little work things.
How long were you there for?
Like, a total about 2 years.
What neighborhood?
Of like seven different ones.
Oh,
because it's so expensive there that any time we had like a Thanksgiving or Christmas holiday, I didn't want to pay rent over that break.
Oh.
So I would just move out and find a new place when I went back. So I was in Fort Greene, the East Village, Clinton Hill, like right around Penn Station for a while, oof. Tribeca for a little bit.
Wow.
The West Village, Greenpoint, and like Greenberg, Greenpoint, Williamsburg.
Oh, awesome. So you
all over the place.
Actively seeking out different neighborhoods, or it was just sort of
just
like
just kind of whatever. You're just so happy to get whatever comes up. Friends' places become available, stuff like that.
I thought it was crazy when we first moved to LA, when we came to look at the apartments, I was like, had $2,000 cash in my pocket, like ready to, because in New York, it's like, do you like this apartment? You're like, yeah. They're like, do you have first, last, and security? You're like, yeah. How much is that? They're like $5,400 or whatever it comes to. You're like, uh-huh. They're like, yeah, I'll take it. You're like, wait, what? They're like, yeah, I got five more people that want to see it today. Do you want this apartment?
Sure.
Tell me right now.
Right.
When we came to LA and I was like trying to put cash in the woman's hand. She's like, just write me a check. The apartment's yours. I'm like, you're not showing it to anyone else. I'm like panicked. And she's like, no, it's not how it is. But has that changed in the last few years?
It has.
Yeah.
Now you submit an application. When did you move here? Like 2010?
Yeah, probably 2011. Yeah.
I think it's much more common now for them to evaluate, like you're buying a house,
right,
for them to like evaluate a bunch of different applicants. Based on who knows what, like really disgusting criteria of, like, I'm sure this is when like race really comes into play.
Race,
I'm sure,
like, they want to say it's about money to make sure you can cover month to month. But I learned that, and I don't know how it is for same sex couples, but being a couple is like, everyone is like, they want to rent to couples because it's like, they're not going to throw, you're in your 30s and you make money and you're both married. There's going to be no people coming in and out, you know?
Yes.
And they have no idea that I'm hosting a podcast, smoking weed and having dinner parties all the time here. But they think I'm going to be like this dream tenant.
And then if you're married, it's less likely to them that you guys will break up and have to like move out, whatever.
So we have our double income together.
Yes.
So it's like, everyone floats each other.
So this place is rent controlled.
Yes.
Right.
I think so. Yeah. The one bedrooms in this building now I've been listed on Westside Rentals for more than I pay for this two bedroom, two bath.
Wow.
Yeah.
I totally believe that.
And the two bedrooms,
since, like,
two baths, like the one right above us that is the exact same layout is going for, leaving real numbers out of it, is going for 40% more than this.
And meanwhile, those are the places that if you moved, you would want to move to a two bedroom.
Right.
And those are, that's even more.
I can't, like, I don't even
out
know how
of reach.
And like the thing, we want to buy a house next and we can't even like explain to our parents who are just like, you're throwing money away at rent. I'm like, it's 1.4 to get what we have, a two bedroom, 1.5 bath. Condo in this neighborhood would be $1.1 million minimum, which is insane.
Yeah, and that, and even that is like a luxury problem compared to people that like get a job here,
right? And then
now want to like move into the city.
God
to,
help them if they want to bring a family or something like that. Yeah, like you live anywhere in California or you graduate college somewhere, you get a job in LA. I feel awful for. I mean, I lived in a fucking. You had to climb a ladder up 5 feet and then into a treehouse bedroom where I couldn't stand up. I didn't have any furniture. I had a bed on the floor and two bars with all my clothes hanging on it. That's where I lived in Williamsburg, but that was $700
a
month.
And Don't Think Twice. It's straight out of the movie Don't Think Twice.
Yeah, honestly, the most accurate depiction of improv
of
comedy.
Life.
Yeah, it's like when you're in your late 30s, you all are in an improv group together and all taking turns being jealous with one another. The whole movie takes you out of it when you're like, wait, how old are all these people? Why are they still like this? They all
seem
like grown-ups.
Comfortably in their 40s.
Yeah. It's like, why are you stressed about that? Aren't you an adult?
But so you're stuck. You are stuck here.
I'm stuck. And this is a champagne problem. I'm stuck having an apartment that I can afford.
Yes.
God help. Like, a lot of people don't even have that. Like,
right. But we're adding jobs here all the time. So here's what people do. They move to, we've had a decision in LA over whether to build up or out. And we always go out.
Yeah.
We go out
That's
to,
what they call like the spread or whatever,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, sprawl. We go sprawl. Out to, we go to Riverside.
That's what they call the gape.
Spread.
No. The schmear. Yeah.
Like Riverside, San Bernardino, even people commute like 3 or 4 hours a day total to work downtown. Way out in the valley, we've just gone farther and farther out because as soon as people are entrenched in a neighborhood for a while, West Hollywood is a great example. West Hollywood was never part of LA City. Was always like its own kind of unincorporated area. Then it became a city in like 1984. It was like the Wild West kind of. It's where all the like saloons and casinos,
really?
And like nightclubs were. That's the Sunset Strip. That's how it.
Right. That's
like,
how it has that vibe.
Started up in like the late 1800s. It was always like that. But now it's kind of like a bedroom like neighborhood community, but still has a lot of jobs, and you feel like it's kind of growing. But guess how much. The population in like 1990 was like 35,500 or something
in West
Hollywood.
Hollywood. Yeah.
Yes. Guess how much it has grown since 1990 and like to like the 2010 census.
I have no idea.
It shrank.
Less people live here.
1,000 less people.
How is that even possible?
They like the process we were talking about.
Right.
Apartment buildings got torn down and replaced with single family homes. This is a process called downzoning. And it happened all over the city. Every time I go on a podcast and talk about housing, I talk about this. In 1960, LA was zoned for 10 million people. That would fill up LA according to the zoning, 10 million people.
Right.
And now it is zoned for 4 million people.
Wow. Because we're losing any apartment. Because there is no like skyscraper apartments going. Like, I mean, I'm unfamiliar with downtown development, but I know some of my friends live downtown in what seem like the bigger New York style apartments and stuff like that. But there isn't that anymore.
No.
There's not. I mean, there's barely ever like a 4-floor apartment that you see anywhere around
and
here.
Because you don't even need the skyscrapers. If we just filled up most of like the main drags of LA with these 4-story apartments, we'd have way more housing stock than we do.
And that's because supply, demand, if we have less apartments, all the prices go up.
Yeah.
And it's harder for people to live here, which leads to something that is more and more in the news and more, using West Hollywood as an example, the homeless people have, in the last 6 years of me living here, and I lived in New York City for 10 years, the homeless people have exponentially increased.
Right.
And that's so depressing.
Because like evictions are more and more common now.
Right.
When rent is going up as much as it is, you can make a lot more, especially in a rent-controlled place, by finding a way to evict your tenants and replacing them with like some like white millennial who's moving in from out of town.
Right.
Probably the person who had this apartment before you is like <It's> living outside of it right now.
I feel like. I have gone through like such a wave with my over the last 15 years since graduating college of how I feel about homeless people, like scared at first, then like ignored for 4 years in New York, except with the occasional throw a buck to somebody.
Yes.
And then like to LA being annoyed almost or like a little nervous where I'm like, oh God, now there's a fucking shopping cart and like 40 fucking things right outside my front window, my kitchen window. This is so stressful. Oh, dude's sleeping in my parking spot. I gotta like tell him that he has to move because my wife's coming home from work or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm annoyed. And then I flip from annoyed to like, this is not how this shouldn't happen to people.
Yeah, there's so many more now.
And I can't do anything about it. Oh, at least I feel like I can't do anything about
it
personally. So then I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, how are we letting people will go like a homeless person will be laying on the street with a fucking pit bull.
Yes.
And they would be like, oh my God, that poor Pitbull seems so hot. I'm like,
yes,
everyone are
feels
you
so sorry for the dogs.
Fucking, people yes. are like, adopt, don't shop. It's like, what right. about human beings, dude? It's yeah. like, oh yeah, this motherfucker, someone's hoarding ferrets. You know, what a monster. You're like, people sure, are on
someone
the
that
fucking
just wants
street.
Any
dude.
Kind of like company while they're on the street.
I
yeah.
know. And that could be, that's somebody's relative. You know what I
oh,
mean?
Yeah.
yeah. And that's like, humanizing these people for everyone. It's like, it's easy to start as prices go up. It's easy to imagine, like I always use the example, like, I think I'm pretty smart, I'm pretty tech savvy, but I've almost gotten my identity stolen.
Oh,
I've
sure.
fallen for weird phishing scams on the phone, and all I think about is like people who don't speak English as their first language, older people, people who have mental health issues,
who don't
people
have
with dementia,
family to
keep,
like,
keep an eye
them
on them.
Situations.
Yes, exactly. All I think about is if, God forbid, we lost everything, like my mom or my in-laws can lend us money, or
right.
you know, friends that I can reach out
sure.
to. Yeah, hey,
yeah.
you got.
Oh, of
oh,
course.
By the way, can you spot me?
You've you built a very safe life for yourself.
Right.
I think lots of people are just ready to bail you out.
A lot of people would be excited
have filed
to
some money away. Just to eventually.
How's everyone's Gabrus savings account?
Yes.
I want everyone to open up an Emigrant Direct Gabrus savings account. You just got to keep like $25 in it. I'll reach out to like, well,
yeah,
it'll be like
it's
my
already
own.
In a fund. It's already kind of growing.
Yeah, you already forget
bit.
About it. Set it and forget
yes.
it.
Yes.
And then I realized like that's so much more possible to happen to so many more people now.
Yeah.
Because there's like no answer. And yes, traditionally it's also tied to. Drugs and or mental health
yeah.
issues, which are also things that we can do something about.
Yes, as, things that we should
I mean,
be able
know,
to help people get out of instead of
exactly,
it just being a permanent situation.
Things that
you.
Not only we should be able to, but we should be actively seeking out doing for people. Like if
right.
people who have mental health issues, we should say, we gotta help them.
Yes, yeah.
But also we're, as a country, we're... We can't even help people who have health issues necessarily. Like,
right.
Who have like,
sure.
hey, look, this is a visible thing wrong with my arm. And they're like, hey, that's going to cost you $150,000.
Right. Because our healthcare system is so expensive. But a big reason why it's so expensive is because we are taking care of so many uninsured people. I was reading today, Medi-Cal, 50% of Medi-Cal expenditures, which is like Medicaid in California,
yeah.
Go to 1% of the population that signed up for Medi-Cal,
oh.
which is like a lot of people who are homeless in and out of the emergency room, like
with assorted,
once a week.
Yeah.
With all kinds of chronic illnesses, drug problems, stuff like that.
Right. And since we're not doing anything preventative,
we don't treat the problem. We only treat when it becomes like an emergency room crisis. It costs us so much money.
Oh
yeah. So that's like, we would have more for everyone else.
If we were
more effective about how we treat the people,
a little
that are
bit
on
of
prevent.
I mean, that's like the big hipstery push in medicine. Anyway, is like
yeah.
preventative healthcare
yes.
is like
yeah.
something that we don't even no one even
yeah.
talks about.
And
yeah.
housing is a version of that. So it's so much more expensive for us to keep people on the street, constantly getting arrested and going to the hospital, than it would to build a housing unit for every single person that is currently homeless.
Right.
We'd
be
saving money
the
by
price,
doing that.
If we all have to, if we're all chipping in to pay for the police, the jail, the this, the shelter, the
yeah.
Hospital, the drive, the this, the that. If we have to pay for all that, if you just look at that amount of money next to the amount of money that it would cost to give all these people homes,
yeah.
The number is at
it
least
would save
similar.
A ton of money.
Save
yes.
a ton of money. Yeah.
So the only way to get people off the street now is to build what's called permanent supportive housing, which is not something that every person who's homeless needs, but a lot of them do because they have mental health issues or addiction problems or stuff like that.
So is that sort of like a home where there's also some caretakers?
There's services there,
yeah, yeah.
And it's more like communal.
Right.
You know, it's not like you live in bunks or whatever.
Right,
but
it's like a. Is that like what a halfway house is, sort of? Or is like that's not even a real thing anymore, is it?
No,
like,
it is. Yeah. It is a real thing. Most of them are like centered around Skid Row and stuff, but that's designed to like process you out. And a lot of these are just like kind of permanent care places for people who, I mean, eventually if you have a drug problem or something, you can get sober, make your way out of it.
Right.
But you don't have to. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get sober, but like if you have like a mental health thing, you can just stay there.
And that's the answer. That's what we
yes.
need to be building.
Yeah, and that's
right?
partially funded by people's benefits that they're already getting. So all of their benefit, like 30% of their benefits or whatever, go towards the cost of this apartment. And so it's not like free for the people that are living there.
Right, right, right.
Like it does come out of their, yeah. their like federal or like
whatever, whatever they're given or owed or yes. deserve. They, yes. A chunk of it is taken for them to have that this right. housing. What yes. was it called again? Permanent what?
Permanent supportive housing.
Permanent supportive housing.
And so
housing.
This is a big push. We voted on a budget measure to like get a lot of money set aside for this kind of housing last year. And it is very hard to build. It's way easier to appropriate money for this stuff than it is to put up this housing.
Right, because that's when you start getting involved with all the stuff we've been talking about.
Anywhere you put it, you think an apartment building is
I can
crazy.
Only yeah, permanent I can only imagine housing. If you tried to tell my... Like, going back to, like, if you told my family growing up, my oh, aunts God. And uncles, that a black person was going to live within a mile of them, they would talk yes. about how the neighborhood is going to shit.
Yeah.
No less if you tell them they're opening up a permanent supportive housing for homeless people
yes.
block away. You know,
oh,
people shit a fucking brick.
Yes. And so in neighborhoods like this, West Hollywood, they wouldn't even try. The county would not try.
Meanwhile, I heard, speaking of West Hollywood, I recently heard that there's, like, 40 applications to open up cannabis lounges. Like, like now, because West Hollywood has like a slightly different marijuana consumption law than Los yeah. Angeles County, so they're gonna maybe be able to open up restaurants that serve infused food and places that you can imbibe in.
Yes.
And I'm like, maybe how about 10 of those and 10 places for people who don't have homes to live in? Like,
yeah, like and that well, part of the idea was that they could use weed tax money,
right? Because that's the thing
for is, these like public services,
which is like but, what happened big time in Colorado is they were able yeah. to really support public schools and stuff like that,
yes,
because they had an influx of millions of dollars of tax money coming yep. from legal weed.
Yep. So anyway, permanent supportive housing is the way to get people off the street. The fight now is over how to stop people from becoming homeless. And a huge part of that is like, how do we reduce rent in the city? And there are a few different schools of thought on this that are kind of like at war right now.
Football season's coming up, which for me means time to really dive in and learn about the teams, not only to support my guys, the Giants, but also to find out who to bet on. And when I'm going to do my betting, I don't know who's going to win, but I think if, you know, you want to bet, I think you got to check out MyBookie. Look, here's the thing they like to say, and this is a great sentence, and I fully agree with it. Who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. I've bet with all different companies that make it difficult to get the money out, to get the money in, da-da-da-da-da, offshore, this, that. But look, MyBookie is legit. You've heard about them on Bill Simmons' podcast. That's why you got to check it out. If you win, they actually pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for your fantasy players out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. That's a little too complicated today. So do yourself a favor and lay down some cash and win big today. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code MIGHTY to activate that offer. So that's visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code MIGHTY when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Guys, we're talking about HelloFresh. It's a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes. You don't have to do any of the work. You could choose from classic, veggie, and family. You know me, I always say I choose family, and even though there's only two of us living here, I get to eat way more. It's really simple, guys. Like, as you know, you've been listening to this podcast for a long time. I'm not a bright man. I'm not a skilled man. But when it comes to cooking with HelloFresh, I can actually do it. My wife comes home and I'm like, yo, check it out. Here are some, chicken, Southwest chicken tacos. Whoa, not bad, not bad. Like, I could do that on my own, which makes me feel great. You can, and the other thing about it is I know what I'm going to eat for dinner that night. There's no like shopping around on apps trying to figure it out. No going back and forth about should we do this? Should we do this? I have my options and I get excited for it. I'm like, ooh, tonight we should make the burgers because we're going to be watching X on television, you know? All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits. So it's really idiot proof. Like you just open the bag, take the protein out, and you know, you got like 30 minutes later, you have a fully nice meal with like several different, with a couple of sides, and it looks professional. There's a lot of one pot recipes too, so it's speedy and minimal cleanup. Here's the thing, if you are a subscriber, you get like out of the recipe rut. You don't have to worry about like choosing what you're going to eat. You spend less time and less money meal planning and grocery shopping, and you get delicious filling meals delivered right to your door for less than $10 per serving. And there's free shipping. So do yourself a favor. I don't know about you guys, but it's very much helping me eat healthy is cooking my own meals. It's been great. And my wife is like excited to see me doing all this interesting new stuff, especially with the Southwest tacos I just made. They were fire, and she really likes flour tortillas, and they came with flour tortillas. For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/Mighty60 and enter Mighty60 at checkout. For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off of your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/Mighty60 and enter Mighty60 at checkout. The old answer to like a homeless person or a person down on their luck was like, get a job.
Yeah.
And then your whole life can turn around. You can get a job in LA and still not be able to have an apartment. Like, sure. Still not be able to get a, to have enough money. Like, you can work full time and not have enough money to afford
absolutely.
To live here.
Tons of the people, I do like homeless outreach stuff, and so many of them have jobs, whether it's like samples at Costco or tons of car share drivers are homeless.
Like they live more or less. Oh,
something like, I don't want to get the number wrong, but it's close to 20% of like LA community college students are homeless. Tons of LAUSD kids go like sleep in shelters. Because, you know, if you sleep in a shelter, you're still homeless. And we don't have a huge shelter program here anyway. So how do you stop the flow so you're not just constantly waiting for people to fall onto the street and then building a new unit for them? It costs like $400,000 a unit now.
Right.
So it's just not sustainable. So how do you keep people from falling into homelessness? The fight is, so supply and like a lack of supply, I did think, get us into this problem. There's a debate over whether just building new units is enough to get us out.
Right. Because that could still just mean every millennial that wants to work in entertainment or move to this city could fill those apartments.
Yeah, most of the units have been like on the luxury side, expensive condos, stuff like that. It still is not really economically feasible for a developer to build affordable housing. So you need some kind of subsidy to let that happen.
Right. We need the government to be like, look, if you do low income housing, or like, you know, small units that are more affordable or whatever, we'll throw you some money for doing that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
The other school that's less about building are people that focus on the rent side and just say rent control. Have the government come in, expand rent control all over the city. Because right now, the state law is that you can't do that. You can't add rent control buildings. There was a law passed in 1995 called Costa-Hawkins. A lot of people are talking about this now because it's up for repeal on the 2018
Does this
ballot.
Have a number or something? Like,
it's
is it called
Prop 10.
Prop 10, okay.
Yes. And in LA, that's buildings built before 1979 are rent controlled.
Oh.
So that means we're losing stock all the time. Anytime an old building comes down and a new one comes
that's if it's an apartment building, that's six rent control apartments. That's
gone.
Yeah.
So it's just getting lower
and
lower.
They can put whatever they want in, whether it's one big unit, two units, that they can charge whatever they want for.
Yes.
Okay.
And every time people move, it refreshes anyway. So people are saying we got to expand the number of units that are rent controlled, but that doesn't help anyone who wants to move into the city.
Right, then they can maintain, they can stay in there.
Yeah.
And there's also something to be said for people who have a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Getting it, who can afford their apartment. Getting their apartment to be rent controlled means maybe they're able to save. Maybe they're able to buy. Maybe they're able to spend more in the city, spend more in the, and like be, you know, be here longer, be a bigger part of the city. Right.
Absolutely. So it's going to be some combination of new units, new supply, and tenant protections, which is like rent control.
Yeah.
A lot of people are concerned about building going up in like low income neighborhoods can raise the like median rent in that neighborhood. If you built like luxury apartments in like Boyle Heights, Boyle Heights is engaging in like basically a guerrilla warfare campaign to stop market rate units, what they're called when they're not
controlled,
not affordable. Yeah. From going into Boyle Heights,
like meaning like putting up the $1 million apartment, or do you mean businesses as
both.
Well?
Both.
Okay.
So they'll protest developers. They're trying to build new units. If you start a cafe there, your window is going to be smashed instantly.
Interesting.
Because they see it as a threat to them being able to stay there when they're totally right. It's not wrong.
One fancy cafe opens up. Then someone says, like, oh, I could move into that neighborhood. And someone rents them an apartment for 40% more than what anyone else is paying around there. Then everyone's like, well, why the fuck do I have my tenants paying $1,000 if I can get $1,800 from them? So get this family out of there.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I think we should be focusing on neighborhoods like West Hollywood and like the higher income areas. And the solution that I like most is something called inclusionary zoning. And basically what that says is you get a little bonus. If you're a developer and you want to build an apartment building, the city will let you build a little higher than you're normally allowed to do. You can do more units if you carve out some percentage of those units to be affordable. So like if you can add an extra couple floors, if whatever, 15% of your units are for low income, very low income, extremely low income, there's different like
scales,
classifications
that. Yeah,
for
yeah.
it. Yes.
That, oh, because I know there's some stuff like that in a lot of development where it's like, if you want to build a big building, then you need to pay for equal amount of green space, or, you know, like there's like all kinds of weird perks and shit like that. I know in New York, it's always like, yes, we built this like fucking $8 billion building, so that, but we put a garden on the roof, so we got $1 million.
That shit is fucking ridiculous. So we like hippies have really kind of damaged the ability to, like, for people to live in a city in ways that they, I'm sure they didn't understand at the time. But this obsession with green space, people have this idea that building apartment buildings is, because it like replaces lawns, is like bad for the environment.
Right.
But when you think about the difference of putting 200 people on one lot versus putting 200 people on 200 lots, what is going to have the worst effect on like green space?
Yeah.
Like you look at New York, like Manhattan. Manhattan has a ton of like usable green space for everyone. There's parks everywhere.
Right, because if you squeeze 200 people into one lot, that leaves 199 lots
for
open. That could be anything.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But
like the Sierra Club in California and like other groups like this, the national group is better, but in California we have still this hippie ideology of like apartments are bad. Because a lot of those people were homeowners and like grew up and are now like protecting their territory.
Yeah.
So it's
that's the real bummer about a lot of this, is that a lot of people are just arguing because they don't want their neighborhood to change, or they don't want their rent to, they don't want poor people living closer to them or whatever.
There are other sneaky ways to do it too, with people who want to stop building. So there's this thing going around where people are like, we have enough unoccupied units in LA for every homeless person to live in, which is true.
Oh, just like unrented, unsold places that are just empty.
Or like second homes and like a lot, there's a lot of like
Airbnbs and
like
shit.
Airbnbs and like speculative, like condos that people, sometimes foreign money, will like buy up and like not live.
That's
in.
What I feel like a lot of the McMansions in this neighborhood are, is like foreign money, and they're hoping to flip it or Airbnb it, because I'll see like these houses go up over the course of like a year and then never see a car in the driveway.
Yeah,
because
it's safer for you to put your like whatever rubles in that kind of housing than keep it in your chaotic home country.
Yeah,
there is some of that. And that should be like taxed very heavily. You know, that shouldn't be like a place where you can just invest. Housing is for people to live in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you take units in like this area and just fill them up with like if you prioritized homeless people to live in those areas, all the people that have jobs here but have to live up in like down in Lancaster or in Riverside or whatever are like, hey, fuck me, I guess. Like I work there. I would love to live in this area.
Right. And then it's like, all right, do you want the house? And we'll move this homeless person to your place in Riverside. And then it's like, that's...
So taking existing property and deciding how to allocate it among people who don't have it is never going to work. Building...
It's going to be too up... It's going to anger too many people.
It's just impossible to prioritize all the people that, like, who deserves to live in this area more ends up being the question.
Right.
You just have to build... proportionate to the number of like jobs that are in an area. Like that's what's made LA so popular. People are always like, oh, the weather's so nice here. People like you know, you have the beach, you have the lax drug policy, you're like, this place is great.
I moved here pretty much because of legal weed and the beach.
Yes. No, but most people are here
because of jobs.
Yeah. Like this is the job
center. There's things to do. There's several different industries and tons of runoff, like subsidiary industries because of those.
Yes, but you have places like Santa Monica where there's tons of jobs, but not even close to as much housing. Santa Monica hasn't grown since like 1970.
Yeah.
And so
that's why it's like famously expensive now.
Yes.
Even more expensive than
a
lot of neighborhoods.
And so that's why you have traffic on the 10 is crowded going out to Santa Monica in the morning and going away from it.
Because no one lives there, but a lot of people work there.
Everyone works there.
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife was just doing that commute for a while before she got a new job, and it was absolutely brutal.
Yeah, that's right. She was working out there for a while.
Yeah. And it was, but they just put in a train line, right?
The Expo line.
Cause let's talk, because as a longtime New Yorker, public transit is also a big potential for us to really help people too.
Yeah, totally.
Eliminating the need to also own a car or have access to a car in addition to housing.
So this is something I don't stress enough, because people are like, why don't we just find other places to put the jobs, move people like a little, like spread people out a little bit more so we don't have to deal with these problems of shared resources. Density is a really good thing. Density is something that we should be encouraging.
Right.
Density is healthier for people. They can walk around. It gets them out of their cars.
Gets car use down, which is bad for
Manhattan,
our environment.
In terms of like per capita emissions, is the greenest place to live in the country.
Which is fucking wild.
Not, I know.
It's like garbage on the streets and shit. People, like,
well, this is a hippie assumption because it's all cement. You think it's like bad for the environment. It's so good. It's so much better than like living in Taos or whatever and like having to drive everywhere you go.
Right. Oh, shit. So, that is something I would never have even been able to articulate.
Sure.
But it makes total sense when you hear it.
Yeah. So we have to push, like, density should be desirable, which it is now. People want walkable neighborhoods. It makes neighborhoods more expensive.
Yeah, that's part of the reason people love Venice and Santa Monica, is because you can like get to a bunch of stuff on a fucking longboard.
Yes, totally. Right. But we should also be making it more affordable, putting units that are designed to be affordable in these dense areas,
so that all the fucking people that are bussing your tables at all your fancy restaurants don't have to ride a train or drive 5 hours to get home.
So San Francisco, did you read about what's happening in San Francisco restaurants?
No.
Waiters can't live in San Francisco, so now even fancy places have like counter service. You go like fancy restaurants, you go to the counter, you order your food.
Because a server can't live nearby.
They can't staff them.
The thing that opened my eyes to this the most was walking to the train one day in Brooklyn at night. I lived like a half mile from the train. And I happen to just like, sometimes you just sync up with someone who's walking at the same location. And you're like walking next to a guy for a couple of blocks, a Latino guy that I knew because he worked at House of Pizza and Calzone that was around the block from me. And I happen to know him because I go in there often.
Sure.
Deep fried calzones. I've changed, but I love those fucking things. And we were walking, we start talking. And I'm like, oh man, like, I got to head up into the city. And we just start talking about, and he's going back to like Northern Bronx, which is like Southern Westchester, via the subway to work in a tiny neighborhood in Red Hook, Carroll Gardens, as a pizza man.
Yeah,
so he's going like an hour and 15 minutes from the one end of not New York's one end of the city, boroughs included, to the other end of the city.
Yeah,
to work as a and I'm like, oh man, in my head, I'm like, what about this neighborhood that I can barely afford to live in as a working MTV actor? And I'm like thinking in my head, I'm like, this is fucking crazy. So then I start asking a lot of the guys who I know, like the servers, and like, because I bartended at one of the bars there, and I hang, a lot of my friends were the servers. So I started asking the Latino sous chef guys, all the cooks and stuff like that. Where do you live? Where do you live? Just insane, like neighborhoods that aren't even good commutes, you know, where it's like, I know that's four trains for you to get here to be a sous chef at a Mexican restaurant. You probably, on that commute, pass 100 Mexican restaurants.
Yes.
And that just stresses me out so much. But it's like, if you can only get that job and you can only afford this place, what else are you going
to
do?
Yeah. You ever talk to a Lyft driver, like, or Uber driver out here and see where they come from?
And
it's Rancho Cucamonga, Orange County.
Towns I've never heard of as someone who's a lifelong New Yorker. They're always like, I'm from here. I'm like, Pennsylvania. Oh, Lancaster. I was like, Pennsylvania? They're like, no, that's here. And I'm like, where?
Like Duarte or Pico Rivera.
They're from like where the fucking Renaissance Fair is. You know? I'm like, the only thing I know about that is that that's near Anaheim.
Right. And so they get in the car at 4:30 a.m. or whatever.
Drive all the way out here and then just commute all around all day, adding to traffic and stuff all day long for ease of people who want to just get high to go to the Arc Light and don't want to drive. I'm really pointing at myself here. and then they fucking have to drive home an hour and they're making it's brutal.
So transit is important.
Because imagine if you want to densify Santa Monica, but you can live on the Expo line all the way out east.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And then you can just be like, I'm a bartender in Santa Monica, but I don't need a car. I can live in this cheaper neighborhood and have an easy commute to
and then
from
we could get rid of the parking requirements that we had if more people were using transit.
Right.
But the thing, transit is very expensive to build, obviously. We've got the Purple Line that we're extending along Wilshire Boulevard.
Yes, that's the one. Wilshire and La Cienega is where that big construction's been for a long time.
Yeah, that's where it's going. We were allocated some federal money for that now the Trump administration is withholding. So as Obama was going out, he signed the checks, not the checks, but said these will come, but now like we're starting construction that we haven't paid for because Trump is not paying for these things anyway. A cheap alternative that's also really really hard to pass through like neighborhood associations.
Bike lanes
is definitely one, and dedicated bus lanes would be
so then a
incredible.
Bus doesn't deal with traffic.
Yeah, so a bus is actually faster than
it
cars.
Incentivizes riding a bus.
Yes,
sort of like the way a subway does in New York, where you're like, yeah, I get the subway sucks, but it's
faster than
way
driving.
Faster than driving. Yeah, it's way faster than the cab.
Yes.
Oh shit. Yeah. A dedicated bus lane makes total. Also, it's impossible to drive behind a bus. It's like, give them their own lanes.
Yes, but good luck taking away a car
street
lane
parking
from like Sunset or.
That's all I think about is because like Melrose, like I drive up and down Melrose every single day, and I'm like, this is wild. It's four lanes of cars and two lanes of park. Like, how are we allowed to park on Melrose?
Yes.
Like, that is insane.
And when you go up to Melrose, you have to walk like a half mile to cross the street to get to a crosswalk.
It's crazy.
Because Melrose is built for
cars. To go to my therapist, which is 40 feet away, I do have to walk like 900 feet.
Yes.
To be safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Because what are you going to sprint across?
Yeah. And then the people
street,
are jaywalking constantly on Melrose, going from one place that sells glitter tights to another place that sells glitter tights.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not built. It's built for cars.
It's built for cars. But one way we can sort of get around this is doing it piece by piece. So on Wilshire, on parts of Wilshire, they do have bus only lanes during rush hour. And so then from there, you expanded, okay, now it's a bus only lane all day. Okay, now we've built a divider. So this is just like buses and bikes going down this lane. So you can do it in pieces. A really hard thing in LA about building transit programs across the entire city is cities like West Hollywood and Beverly Hills.
We are not part of LA.
Not part of LA.
But we're in the middle as you try to go through.
So you have a bus only lane along Wilshire that going through Westwood is a bus only lane, then disappears as you get into Beverly Hills.
Because they won't allow that.
Yes. And then comes back when you come out. So that slows everything down. That's why that part of Santa Monica and Beverly Hills is always so much slower than everything else. With the new scooters that are coming out, West Hollywood, I don't know if you know.
Some of the most polarizing.
Fight about scooters with Weiger this morning on Twitter, someone that I used to respect and think was smart. just kidding.
Just kidding. Yeah. I still don't respect it. Are you anti or pro scooter?
I'm pro because anything, I think we should be making space for anything that isn't a car. I think a big problem with transit now, most like major bus lines or train or subway stations are like a mile and a half away from people. So you have to drive to the station and
now you're already in
train.
Your car and you're like, what the fuck? Now I might as well just drive all the way to where I gotta go.
Yes.
If you eliminate the need, you can scoot to
you can just hop on a scooter, that like 1.5 to 3 mile distance is perfect for scooters, provided that you have safe road to take them.
That's
on,
the fucking
which right
crazy
now
thing.
We don't have.
It made sense to me when I was hearing about people scooting around like the Marina Del Rey and shit like that. Sure. I was like, oh, that's wild. That's fun. Then when they started like turning off of fucking Fairfax onto Melrose, I was like, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
This absolutely is terrifying.
Yeah. Because it's incredibly dangerous for them on the street. And then they go on the sidewalk and that's no good for pedestrians. Right. You shouldn't have scooters on the sidewalk. And so everyone is mad at the scooters when really we should be mad at the cars that are taking up way more space and making the situation so much more dangerous.
Something you said on an episode of the LA podcast that really clicked was, we offer up these possible changes and people are always like, we're not fucking Amsterdam.
Yes.
But when we're like, let's legalize weed, everyone's like, totally.
Yes. Anything
like,
that people, yes.
What Amsterdam did.
It's just people choosing, just like, people should just say, I don't like this. I don't want that.
Right.
I like my current lifestyle.
Right. I don't want anything to change about my current life. Yeah.
Right. Unless it's something I want, which is more weed or like trees.
Eliminating the need for cars.
Yes.
Where cars are just more of a luxury.
Yeah.
Or at least not a necessity to survive here. Because like ride shares, you're like, oh, that's going to fucking, that's going to increase carpooling.
Boy.
It's not really carpooling. It's actually added a bunch of cars because maybe people who weren't driving
the
before.
The ride share thing, this is crazy. So the time a ride share driver spends waiting for someone to pick up compared to actually driving someone is 1-to-1. So they spend as much time without a passenger as they do with one. So compared to like, it's more basically a car is on the road more than they would be if you just got in your car and drove somewhere.
Right. Cause what, when you're in your apartment walking to out to be, you could be, that car doesn't have to be waiting for you necessarily. I mean,
not just waiting, but like driving around waiting for someone to pick up.
They're just adding. That's just a car on the road at that point.
Yeah, it's just a car on the road.
It's not eliminating someone out. Right.
Yes.
I see what you're saying.
And so people are like, oh, you don't have to look for parking and stuff. But the car share drivers have to look for rides.
Right.
Which means so much more cars on the road. Uber and Lyft are not a solution to this.
No, they're not
all
a solution. They are a luxury. Yes. And but they
it's
are
great for like drunk driving.
I was
going
to say it's
stuff.
A solution to drunk driving for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's huge. Like if these people, I mean, of course, some of these people are pulling 14-hour shifts. I mean, how many like car share drivers have you seen with a Trenta in the cup holder?
I know, it stresses
like
me out. I'm like, wait, I'm drunk, but are you too tired to drive? Yeah.
And because they're incurring, you know, the more you like, just to break even on some of these things. If you're leasing the car, you have to drive that much just to make money.
It's
I'm
weird
not sure
how many things
it
that seem like luxuries are weirdly prisons to other people, and it's like the most stressful thing in the world. Where you're like, oh, I love going to doing this, and then you're like, see how it affects like other people. You're like, damn,
yeah, I feel something that they have to spend all day doing just to have enough money to afford rent or whatever, and like no growth potential at all.
And then you
no
you,
time spending.
You get out of your Uber at work, and you go to your stand up desk, and you're like, sitting is the new smoking. And then the fucking Uber driver is like holding in piss for 9 hours at a clip.
Yeah,
and is like, you know, and then you get in the car, and you're like, shut up, leave me alone. It's like,
don't talk to me.
I'm fucking lonely. I have to piss so bad. I'm dehydrated because I don't want to have to pee because I want to save money. Yeah. I was doing bits about how I miss like a New York taxi driver who seems like they're mad at you for asking them to do their job.
They just don't want to, are just on like a Bluetooth all day and it's very
just
relaxing.
Like, having full blown Nigerian conversations that I don't understand. I'm like, I love this.
Yeah. And they're also, they had like a decent income, not just from driving around. The medallions appreciate in value.
Right.
By so much. I mean, it was like a cabal. It's not a legitimate enterprise.
It's a little sketchy how they all run that.
Yes.
Because that's the way also all these major cities are. It's like, oh, someone's making a little money off this. How can we fucking bastardize it?
Yes. But those people are ruined. If you were relying on the income of a cab medallion, the value of those tanked.
When Uber
Because came of car share.
Oh.
Yes.
Poor guys.
I know. So there's a lot. So it's not Uber and Lyft. The biggest thing to get away from cars is density.
Right, because then you can maybe live and work in Santa Monica and only leave via a train or a friend's car. You can go without a car. You can be like, oh, I walk to work. Yeah, it's
that would be ideal if you could just, walk a mile every day, stopping at coffee on the way. Like,
you don't need a car. You can afford a little bit more of an apartment.
Yes.
You know? Like,
oh, yeah.
You free up $300 a month, not including insurance and gas or like whatever. I don't even know how much cars cost.
Right. And so
my business manager just pays for my...
So that's like the thing that I always try to talk about is we have like the community of renters and like young people in this city all kind of vaguely like this stuff, but nobody is that passionate about it, especially compared to homeowners that are trying to stop these changes from getting made.
They've already got everything they need. They've owned their home. That thing is fucking skyrocketing every month. I saw some graphic someone tweeted where it was like, why aren't millennials buying homes? Or LOL. And it was like the same. The home was sold in 96 for like 130,000. And then 2006 for like 280,000. And then 2016 for $1.4 million.
So many people think it's a little out of reach for me now. I'll just save a little more. Maybe I'll get a better job. I'll be able to afford this house in a couple of years. That house got exactly that much more expensive.
Right.
It's still out of reach.
It's just staying slightly ahead of you the entire time.
Yes.
Also, we live in California. It is Los Angeles. It is gorgeous. It rarely rains. Biking should make the most sense.
Oh yeah.
It should be a pedicab city.
Oh my god. Yes.
It's crazy. It's crazy that there's not at least like, yes, it sucks to ride your bike because you got to go all the way up to Hollywood or you got to go all the way down to Beverly where there is the bike lane to go all the way across.
Yeah.
At least, but that's the start, right?
Sure.
Because that's what happened in Brooklyn, and it really opened things up, was that they put a designated bike lane on one east to west street to start, and it's like, it's kind of a hassle. You have to, weave for a little while, but then you get to that
is
bike
that the
lane.
The one that goes through like Crown Heights?
Yeah, it goes
around...
there's one that goes from like Williamsburg all the way down south, but I'm sure there's way more now, but there was one that went like all of DeGraw or Sackett or something like that, where you can go clear across from Carroll Gardens, Park Slope, and further east.
Yeah.
And all in a green bike lane. And I'm scared of being on a bike in the city, but I always rode my bike in Brooklyn because I felt like I can get to that street and then I feel safe for a while.
And well, people here are like, why would we put a bike lane in? Nobody bikes. And it's like, fucking yeah, of course. It's like, you'll die.
Put a bike.
I don't bike. Like I.
And you're like the most. Like you're like, I know this is the answer, and I can't even do it because it's too risky.
I would love to be able to, but it's way too dangerous. Yeah. Cars aren't looking for you at all.
And there's no like place for you to be because there's no shoulder anywhere here because everything's a car parked. People, I've had to swerve my car from people opening their car doors. From getting out of a parking spot. I'm like, bikers are going to get doored fucking left and right here.
It's crazy. Meanwhile, these scooters are coming out and the city's talking about capping the speed of scooters to go from 15 miles an hour cap to 12 miles an hour. Well, we have like cars that go like 45
in a 25.
Yes.
And I truly believe part of the reason people speed in LA is because of the traffic. And when you don't have traffic, you're like, make up 1 minute on, oh, Beverly is clear from Fairfax to La Brea.
Yeah.
I got to make up the minute I just spent at, you know, and they like crank it.
Well, it's because of the traffic twofold. We have these very wide boulevards because during rush hour, they get like choked up.
Right.
And so like people think, oh, we just make them wider and wider to allow for more cars to go through when it's rush hour, so we will reduce traffic. But then when it's not rush hour, that street becomes like a runway.
Right.
Like Melrose, especially, like at 10 p.m., if you see lights,
if you're driving home from poker on Melrose, I play a game where I see how far I can get from like Gower West without hitting a red light.
Yeah, if you see greens the whole way, you are just like gunning it.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and cars are so dangerous.
So dangerous.
The amount of people I know who live in Los Angeles, who live in a half hour to 45 minutes away from some of the most gorgeous West Coast beaches that exist, who will not go in the water because of sharks, but will drive all over the fucking the hills, the street, like, you know, get in lifts with people they don't know. And like, and I do all that stuff, too.
Of course.
But that is taking your life in your hands every time you get on the fucking road here.
I get scared on planes, which is so much less dangerous than getting
in a
car.
And it's that weird logic thing where it's like, I'm safe in my car, but you're going to get killed by somebody else's car.
Yes. But it's just, they're ubiquitous. It's just like the kind of thing, it's the craziest thing that we do. Dom has a good
I was just about to say Dirkus's stand-up bit about
he has a great stand-up bit.
So you're getting this 10,000-pound death machine and we just
and you, future generations be like, well, surely there was some other like a robot controlling it or something. You didn't drive it yourself. It's like, and no, we did
the implicit trust that, and
yeah, and the future generations being like, oh, and people didn't die from that. He's like, no, people definitely died
all the time. It's like,
tons of people.
Yeah. So you didn't, and that
especially
didn't,
kids. Right. It kills more kids than anything else.
That's the other thing. Talking about cars, these autonomous cars that everyone is up in arms about, like that I'll hear, like close personal friends of mine that I think are smart are like,
yeah,
I don't trust no fucking automatic car. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, of course not at first, but like I would trust 10 automatic cars around me on the 101 rather than 10 fucking people ripping balls or doing their lashes or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know?
But just even self-driving cars
are still cars.
They're still cars, and it's still a human in like a 10,000-pound metal cage that takes up a ton of space. It's just not sustainable for the design, for the way cities are designed.
Unless I'm picturing in my head like Wall-E cars, you know, like you get in like a pod and read the newspaper, and it just drives you wherever you go.
Sure, that's more like human size.
Yeah,
than
or
it maneuvers
shuttles,
perfectly.
Like, you know, eight people get on one auto car that goes from somewhere to somewhere.
Yeah, I could see like little buses like that being more common.
But that's also like, that's just like, we can't even get people buses. We can't even get people on buses, which we have in L.A., which runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have the city's kind of a grid in like the main basin.
Yeah.
And so like it's not hard to get from place to place.
Like,
if you take one east west bus and maybe one north south bus. But it is built, it's very inconveniently the way it's set up. So if I had missed the bus I took here, I would have had to wait 45 minutes for the bus that goes along Melrose, the 10.
The big,
which is like a huge corridor. But I was like running to this, knowing like, I'm just fucked if I don't catch
and
this
that's
one.
Like the, that's what everyone thinks when they think of like, oh, I got to do public transit.
Yeah.
But if New York City is like a great example of, or like, a lot of European cities are too, where it's like, you're like, oh my God, the public transit, that's fucking crazy. What if I miss a train? And then it's like, once you miss a train, you're like, this is no different than a flat tire or not being able to find a parking spot. Like,
yeah.
It's all the same shit that we care about. I think people like traffic better because they're at least stuck by themselves, which is like a weird whole
but
society
thing. But I think in New York, just people have gotten used to it more. They read. You can look at your phone. Don't you love looking at your phone?
Isn't that the thing that makes cars so dangerous is that we also have phones and computers?
Yeah, you can look at your phone and not die. Yeah. But it is on, you know, like MTA in New York has gotten so fucked up because the state has just like abandoned it. So like it is on the city and the state to like keep these transit systems healthy,
MTA
make them
is
faster
on
than cars.
Its own fucking quick downfall. Right
yes,
now,
yeah. And that's where it comes down to homeowners and people that drive are so much louder, have a much louder voice, yeah, protecting their interests than the people who are just kind of vaguely like, yeah, it would be nice to be able to walk places and take a bus. Be nice to have my rent be a little bit lower. But yeah,
we got
to
get like fucking weird art collectives to just like spray paint a lane of Melrose green,
right?
From like fucking Western to La Cienega or something.
So I was
like
thinking about this while I was arguing with Weiger today. He was saying it's a legitimate point. Like the scooters come from Silicon Valley. They have this like move fast, break things aesthetic where they just spread them out all over the city. It was like illegal, but they made the city like account for them. And he was like,
you deal with this problem. We're making money off of it.
And he was like, I don't like indulging that way of doing things.
Right.
But I was thinking like if the equivalent thing were someone like paint bombing crosswalks and bike lanes all over the city and then like it's not legal and you make the city just like deal with it, that's cool. And it kind of accomplishes the same thing, which is taking space away from cars.
Right. And at least the bombing of the Bird and Lime scooters at least shows everyone, it's like, see how convenient it was to be able to have access to that scooter.
Totally.
I can't believe how many scooters I've seen in
they're
front
everywhere.
Of like apartments and houses all around my neighborhood.
People are using them.
I'm like, that's exactly what I'm getting at. It's like, say what you want about them. People like them.
Yeah, but
I'm a little scared to get on one because I'm like, I can't blow my ACL trying to land a scooter. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm never going someplace that's like 1 to 3 miles away.
Because you live in this great dense neighborhood, so you're either driving.
I'm either walking somewhere or driving to the east side
across
town. Yeah,
right.
Or driving to a lot to say,
to say
four words to Julie Ashton and have her go, sorry, not this one again.
Oh, she just tells you in the in the audition now.
She'll just be like, I don't even turn the we're good. I hear like the garbage, the sound effect of the recycling bin.
Just a little crumpling paper
noise. And she deletes the file. You're like, oh, okay, well, see you around.
But yeah, instead we have like artists, like communities, like committing vandalism in the other way, which is changing the word bird on the scooter to say turd, snipping the wires. There's one right outside your place that someone clipped the wires of, smearing shit all over the scooter.
Yeah.
Like people, I don't know. I just don't get the anger targeted at these little electric powered goofy things.
Like the future. But I think for a lot
of
people,
the death machine that's like screaming by you all day long.
Right. Oh, especially like my street became like a Waze cut through at some point, and now I'm like, everyone, I live in like 2 10 unit apartments with that share a big driveway, as you know, 20 units, 14 dogs between the two buildings, and cars go 45 miles an hour, and driving around this neighborhood is insane because you can't even have two cars pass each other, really.
Yes.
You can't have two cars go in different directions because people street park. And it's really, there's a room for like 1 3/4 cars.
Right.
And every fucking, I'm going to be so stereotypical here, but every fucking white woman with a lot of jewelry is driving a fucking tank that's 2.5 sizes bigger than any other car on the street. It's just like Range Rover.
I'm not
G-Wag.
Saying to the gender stereotyping. to the size of the car.
Yes. There is a lot of wealthy white women trucking around this neighborhood and sort of like in bigger and bigger cars.
Yeah. And when people who live in these neighborhoods are all mad at Waze for encouraging this what they call cut through traffic. That name has always been that term is kind of weird to me in a big city like this.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like
anywhere you live.
I'm not allowed to live in between Melrose and Beverly and be like, I hate that cars turn down my block. It's like,
there's
have
just
four
cars
lane
everywhere.
Roads on both sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what people want to do to fix cut through traffic is to make those major boulevards even wider, to have those be like car priority even more, when really we should just be taking space away from cars everywhere, all over the city.
Well, think about if we like eliminate a bunch of cars, what the side streets become if there's not street parking all the time. You know what I mean? There's not cars street parked everywhere.
Yes.
And I will say, because I live in like there's a lot of businesses nearby and we have two cars. My wife has one, I have one. She has a parking spot. I don't. if it's the middle of the day, if I go to the gym at 10 and try to come back at 11, I'm fucked. I can't park anywhere near my house, which is crazy. But at the same time, it's the price I pay for having a car.
Right. This parking space is becoming more and more available. This is something that Uber and Lyft have done. Like the valet business is dead.
Right.
Basically, they're like entire lots are being converted to other purposes because more people take car share, then you don't have to park.
Because the moment you know you're going somewhere where you have to pay for parking, you just do the math where you're like, it's $10 to park at LA Live or whatever. And then it's like, it's 20 to go round trip, have someone drive me.
Right.
Right.
And so
if
we took all this newly available parking, turned it into units, especially affordable units, like places where people could live, then you don't need car share either, really. Because now the place you're getting to, now you live there.
Yeah.
And you can just walk around. So that would be nice. I think it's always important to say all these amenities, bike lanes, walkability, parks, all this nice shit. When you build stuff like this, it does make neighborhoods less affordable, which is why you have to come at it from the other side, too, and put protections in place and like make sure you've got enough affordable
units.
Right,
when you build
units.
That utopia neighborhood where you're like, oh, now everyone wants to live there. Now it's market.
It's just out of control.
Right,
the
right.
rent goes crazy. And so then people start getting squeezed out.
You're making me want to become like one of those... And I'm not the guy to do this because I'm too afraid, and I'm not the poster board for this. But you make me want to become
you say
one
poster
of the,
board.
Yeah, poster boy and board. To be fair, I'm not the poster boy. Hey, I'm the poster board.
I'm not some kind of cork board.
Yeah, I'm not some oak tag. But you make me want to be like one of those bike warriors that's like, let's get 10 guys together and ride all down Santa Monica to the beach.
God bless those people. Everyone hates them. But when I said that there's like not the people on the other side against like homeowners and drivers that like really freak out and get mad and like complain to their city council person about their stuff. The exception is the bike people.
Yeah.
Those people are nuts. And it's because of them, because of the crazy, like
the
fighting.
Feverish bike supporters.
Yes,
yeah.
That they're doing all the time. That is making stuff safer for everybody else.
I feel like bikes should be some of like the most easy to sell thing, right? Like,
wouldn't you think?
And you're talking about Beverly Hills being its own thing. What if they had just their own bike lane around Beverly? You know what I mean? Or through Beverly Hills at one point. They could just put it up. West Hollywood could put up... Santa Monica should have a bike lane. Ride by all those nice gay bars on your bike every day. It'd be fucking awesome.
They did finally put one in on Santa Monica through Beverly Hills.
Yes.
They just finished a green lane there, which is great.
And like that's a great start. And once we have those lanes and people start going like, well, I'm going to actually just start riding my bike. Because I have a friend who rode his bike everywhere until the only apartment he can get was like renting a room in the fucking the hills. And now he's like,
oh God,
I don't mind riding my bike out of home, but going home, I have to ride like vertical for like a mile. I can't do it. Yeah.
No, it's crazy, but it's a fight for scarce resources with cars. That's all it is. You try to put a bike lane in, people see their car commute getting longer. And then we like those two interests go to war.
Right, and then who's going to win the louder and cars? But like, there's so many signs, so many different issues about cars that we all know.
Yeah,
and we are California too.
Yeah,
we're like the hippies. We're the lefties. We know that pollution is bad. We love our hybrids. Well, wouldn't we love bikes even more than Priuses?
Yeah.
Imagine how much money you save on gas if you ride a fucking bike, hippies.
Yeah. Well, it would be. And then like...
Says the guy who's like, I'm not riding a fucking bike.
No, I wouldn't either. But wouldn't you? It would be so nice to be able to.
So what are small steps? Let's leave it here with like, what are some small steps that we or listeners... either in their respective towns or if they're in LA or in nearby cities, what can they do to get involved or to help out? I don't even know.
This is so lame. It's such a lame thing to recommend. I mean, I think just the basic thing, like taking the bus is like a wall that you kind of have to break through in terms of like, how do I even operate this thing? Like, I get my bus pass and like all this shit. It takes a little work to just like be able to manage your like local bus system.
Yeah.
But once you kind of break through it, like for certain trips, you'll find it like really easy to use.
Right. You can like, you can maybe use it for 10% of your normal rides or 5% of your normal rides.
Like you're that.
The bar that I like that's all the way down at the end, like it's a straight shot. Maybe I have to walk two blocks on either side.
That makes
Let
a
me
huge
start
difference.
Taking the bus.
And yeah. I guarantee no matter where you live, there's an app that you can download where you just open it up and you say where you want to go and it'll tell you when to leave your house, like how long it'll take. Yeah. It'll navigate the whole trip.
In New York for a while, it was HopStop. That's what I lived off of, because it was like you could include buses or exclude buses. You can include subways. And it's like take the F to the A,
right.
Be in the front of the train, then you're closer when you get out. And it's like just...
So it tells you the shortest route. It's not like you have to like stand on the corner and just wait. You don't even know if a bus is going to show up.
Right.
Like it helps you through the whole thing.
That's a great... That's... It's almost like, you know, the meatless Mondays of like, you
two
know,
trips,
it's like,
if everyone replaced two car trips a week with bike or bus trips, that would bring us to the Paris Treaty emissions levels that we were supposed to get to. That's it. Two a week.
That's
everyone would have to do it, and which like people aren't going to. But so that like the bus thing is great. The other thing. Neighborhood council meetings suck so bad, but...
The neighborhood council meetings suffer from the same thing acting classes suffer from.
Oh, my God.
It's like, they're important, but a few people will ruin them.
Absolutely. Either being boring or just, like, so, like, venal and gross that you're just...
So self-involved.
I don't want to be here.
Like, what is this issue you're even bringing
yes.
up?
Yes. But a weird... Like, in wherever you live, a weird amount of decision-making happens there, especially preventing growth. Like, that's where it kind of goes down, where the neighborhood gets together and says, we don't want this apartment complex on our block.
They wield the opposition's apathy as a weapon in a way. Where, or, like, the ignorance of, like, people, like if someone who has your belief system isn't at that city, they're like, yep, perfect. More cars, stamp, moving on. Yeah.
But if you're a renter in an expensive neighborhood, which most of the people listening to this probably are, it's in your interest to go to these meetings and say, I want more apartments in this area because then my rent is not going to go up as fast.
Right. If you want to look at it from the most like selfish point of view, like, you're like, add units in my neighborhood so that my rent doesn't go up.
Especially if you live in an expensive neighborhood. If you live in a low income area, then you got to evaluate these things a little differently. And you say like, okay, is this building going to, what kind of effect is this building going to have on the area? But if you live in, you know, like Santa Monica here, like most of Silver Lake, places like that, then it's like, let's build this place up a little bit. Let's let more people live here.
Yeah. It stresses me out a little bit that like so many people who make good money are renting. And then so many people that who just happened to have money 25 years ago
and now
are benefiting
and now have no income and are relying on 10% growth in their home equity.
Right.
To just like
live off
to live off. Right.
Hayes, thank you so much for coming on
and
talking to me.
If you want for more housing stuff, we just did an episode about I don't know when this is coming out.
A week or two.
Okay, yeah. We just did an episode about Prop 13 in California.
I haven't listened to that one. I just downloaded it, but
it has
that,
Prop 13 in the title. It's what limits homeowners' property tax. Property tax can only in California can only go up by 2% a year, no matter how much the price of your home is growing.
Ah.
So around here, people live in $3 million mansions and pay like $2,000 a year in property tax or whatever. Like something
that's
like,
an issue.
Yeah, it's really, really deflated. It allows like it's just one of the many handouts to homeowners that we have in this.
Right. We are again repeating. We are Los Angeles. We are California. We should. If you own a $3 million home, you should like have to look yourself in the mirror and go like, let me throw a few more bucks to the government. Like, let me save this city, this state. I'm it's an investment in your fucking where you're living. Like,
and if you have kids, then they're more likely to actually be able to live here instead of having to. But you can see your grandkids.
So the name of your podcast is
LA
the LA Podcast,
LA
Podcast.
Yeah, either one.
A lot of great puns in all the titles of the episodes.
Yeah, we should
Scoot
prepare
to kill.
Ahead of time. Good. Good title puns.
And then also, of course, Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood
I think
Handbook.
If anyone listening to my podcast knows.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap there.
A lot of overlap. Yeah. A lot of freak coders and custodians who just listen to shit all day long. You're not a freak because you're a coder or a custodian. You just happen to be a mug.
You have that job and you are a freak. Yes.
Anything else you'd like to plug, Hayes?
No, I don't think.
And are we voting for anyone on LA in LA who doesn't want to look anything up? Yes or no on Prop 13?
That comes up. Prop 13 passed in 1978. It comes up for reform in 2020. So that's a ways out.
Okay.
Prop 10 is Costa Hawkins, that rent control one.
Sorry.
We want yes on 10, which will repeal Costa Hawkins, which came up in 1995.
Well, and
so it's complicated. But Prop 5 on the ballot in this state election is an expansion of Prop 13, which is terrible. We do want to vote no on Prop 5.
Yes on 10. And then 13, we'll figure out what that is when that lands.
That comes up for reform in 2020. That's a little ways out. And even then, it's kind of a specific reform where it only applies to businesses. We don't have time.
I would love to do like 8 follow-up episodes and be like alienate my entire audience. Yeah. It's like, wait, are they going to eat Taco Bell?
You didn't talk about any year. You didn't talk about lifeguarding. Long Island didn't come up once.
I know it's great. And you know what? Long Island should come up right now. They have an insanely high tax rate. That's like what everyone in Long Island complains about. It's the thing you get to talk about if you own a home on Long Island.
Sure. You feel like you're going to have to move.
Yeah,
then.
I get killed on fucking taxes, though. Yeah. I'm using my brother as an example here. Yeah. I'm like, hey, you're younger than me. I make maybe twice as much money as you do, and I don't have a home, and you do.
Right.
And you have a 4-bedroom home in a yard, and he goes, but I'm getting fucking killed on taxes. It's like, okay,
that's
all
right. Okay.
Me too.
You would love to get killed on taxes. Yeah, you're just paying it in other ways.
It's just coming out of my paychecks.
Yeah.
The 3 a year I get.
Yeah. This will radicalize people, is getting you in a home, getting you to be able to afford a
home. That's fine. And of course, it'll be like, we got to help Gabers get a $1.5 million home. With a pool and a casita for him to record his podcast out of.
Yeah,
like that's
little,
what I
little man cave.
Well, we sort of have gone full circle where Tiff and I are like, well, now we might as well. We don't even want to get a next home. We want to get our final home.
Yeah. And now you're in a place where you need your end home.
I need an end home. And I mean, I'm almost 40 and I don't have any savings. And I'm like, next up, buying a fully, like a super expensive home in a neighborhood
house
I want to live in. Yeah. It's like my first home that I'm going to own is going to cost more than every single person in my family's homes combined.
That's right. But don't worry. Once you get like a little older, you'll be like, oh, okay, now I can downscale again. Maybe I can afford.
Now I'm going to live off the fucking expo line all the way out east.
Yeah.
I'm going to live in Barton. Wait, is that even a town?
No, I don't think so.
What's the town with a B on the way to Vegas that's like on the 15th?
Barstow.
I'm
you can commute
I'm live in
from Barstow.
Take the bullet train.
Maybe the
Santa high
speed rail will be done by then.
Shoot from Barstow to Santa Monica for a commercial audition and a shoot back.
Yeah.
They want to see you one more time. What? Why can't I hear you flying?
You like bring water home for your family.
Grab some water while you're there. Got it.
Do an audition carrying like 2 pails.
Scoop it up. Crack open the fire hydrant with the illegal wrench that every Barstow resident gets upon buying a place. Yeah, I mean, I was just in Maui for a vacation with my wife. Another reason why I'll never own a home. But I was like, should we just move in? Like, should we just fucking...
Did you check the home values there? It's way worse there than
it is.
Than
I'm assuming it is.
It's crazy.
But then also you live in Hawaii.
No, that's nice. It's at least nice.
Yeah, because we're going to end up being like the place we're going to... You can tell buying homes in LA has gotten harder based on when I first moved here. Everyone's like... All my friends that were ready to buy houses at that point due to careers or lives were like, I'm buying in Silver Lake, Los Feliz, Echo Park, Burbank, here. Oh, cool. The 2 years later, it's like, Glendale,
Valley
Pasadena,
Village.
Valley Village, blah, blah.
Yes.
And now this year, friends of mine are like, Altadena, yep. Pacific Crest, and more and more towns I've never even heard of.
Drive until you qualify.
Right? Is that the yep. That's a great expression. Yeah. Yep. And you know, you hear people say things like, well, actually, you know, it's only an hour and 15 minutes in the morning and then an hour and 5 on the way home.
Right.
In the car. But I have a yard for my son to play in. And you're like,
sure. Or
oh
like
my-
I'm thinking of just like podcasting more, doing the Patreon thing, and so then I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, if I can live on
this weird island. Like,
well, that's the only thing. Like, I'm like 5 minutes away from not needing society.
Yeah. Just- It's great.
I go full Owen Benjamin and fucking. By the way, I brought him up on a podcast and a bunch of his fans started attacking me on Twitter.
Oh, they have some kind of...
Las Culturistas, which is like a gay podcast, more or less. And I'm like, how did you fucking listen to that? You sought that out.
Yeah, they have some kind of weird radar for whenever he gets mentioned.
Come at me, baby bears, or whatever the fuck you call yourselves. Although the sad part is when I find out how many overlap I have in listeners. It's like
oh, yeah.
10,000
listeners. They were listening because they were also fans of you. Yeah. They think of you as like the same kind of guy.
That's my big fear, is that like every once in a while someone will say something. I'm like, oh, I should really change my sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. They're like, I agree with Gabrus.
I gotta be a guest on the LA podcast like 5 times and just be obnoxious. Anytime I say anything remotely woke on here, someone accuses me of virtue signaling.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not positive what that means.
It just means that you are
trying
being,
to say I'm a good guy.
Yeah, just like being nice, like being vocally nice. People interpret that like there's no way you could just want to
feel that way,
like help other people, want other people not to suffer. It must be that you're just trying to like get laid. Or
White Knight, he helped that woman in that car crash. Fucking White Knight, White Knight giving fucking chest compressions and rescue breaths.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can be.
Someone get me a tourniquet. This woman's bleeding out. Hey, White Knight, right. You fucking loser.
But it does like it does a good job of like keeping like people embarrassed about the nice stuff that they
you know
do.
We'll end it after this. I know you have 5 buses to catch. But something recently happened where I was like, I just tweeted a joke that was like, hey, guys, I voted today, too. I just forgot to grab a picture, like, as a joke.
Yeah.
And then Heather Ann Campbell responded with something that to the effect of like, yeah, but it works. It makes people think
like,
to
hey,
vote.
Shut up. Just and, like, let people.
And exactly. And I was like, oh, my God, she's right. In my head, I'm the old cranky man of like, all right, you took your, and it's like, no. Tell everyone you voted. Make voting a cool communal thing.
Guilt is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that's where we need to start. I don't have to look at my Instagram.
Right.
I don't have to go like scroll through all my friends voting. I know what it is. I avoid Twitter when if I miss a TV show or a football game. Right. I can avoid Instagram on election day if
sure,
I want.
If you want to.
If that's my big issue.
Yeah.
Or I should fucking vote and post a picture and tell my followers to vote. Because if I get through to one person, that's a good.
Yeah. That's what you just add to the pressure on the person that like wasn't going
to
do it.
It's like.
Why not?
Exactly.
Like it's so precious. Like every post on Instagram
that's
is so precious.
And I can't believe how. I'm like, this thing used to just be dogs and babies. And now I'm like, but what is it now? I'm like, I don't need to use it.
No.
So I'm not allowed to complain about
it. Yes, sure. That's what people say about Twitter, too. It's like everyone's all like serious now.
And it's like it's a hellhole. I'm like, shut it off.
Yeah, just if people are doing something you don't like, just like unfollow.
I started.
Just do whatever you want.
Oh, just a quick thing for friends out there that might not know this. You know you could turn off retweets?
What?
Yeah. And that's you can turn off seeing other people's retweets, specific people. Highly recommend for
individual people when
their special drops, when their indie
people
movie
who have
comes
a new
out.
Show on the air that are retweeting compliments.
Yep. Anyone who's a heavy compliment retweeter.
Who you like their original stuff.
Yeah,
you want to know what
it,
they're up to.
But I don't need to know how your fans feel about you all the time. So anyone who overdoes it, you can go into the little gear thing and turn off their retweets.
That's huge.
It's actually very huge because I stopped reading the same shit over and over again, too. Yeah.
My feed, I love my feed now. Everyone complains about Twitter. It's because you haven't curated your experience enough.
I unfollowed
You've
like
let it get out of
12
control.
Negative people like and it Ugh. Like really 12 over posters you
yes.
know like
you just think about there's a handful of people that are ruining the experience for you, which is fine. Mute whatever you need to do.
Yeah, you need to mute. So and also You can mute on Instagram.
Oh, okay. I see. I don't use it.
Oh, okay. But that's a new thing too, because like,
yeah, you that's can, big.
Because you used to have to unfollow someone on Instagram and they would be able to tell. But now yes. you can mute them. Now maybe they'll keep track if you never have like never like one of their pictures again.
Right.
But at the same time,
yeah.
Whatever you need to do for Muting's your mental
great.
Health.
Brandon yeah. Wardell has the great thing about blocking someone as a gift to them.
Right.
Because it's letting them know that you got mad.
Right. And it's you see it. Anytime there's a Twitter bio of someone I know I'm going to dislike, they mention who's blocked them in their Twitter bio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Blocked by James Gunn. Yeah. Sick.
This guy who's at like rock bottom.
I know. Got him. Dug in deep. Now he blocked me. Hayes Davenport, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me
Thank
back.
You for making me a more informed, arguably, possibly a better person after this conversation. Well, I mean, I'm going to make choices that I think would make me a better person. I'm going to be killed on a bike tonight. Of a heart attack from just pedaling. Was he hit by a car? No, he hit a hill.
Yeah.
He was going up a hill. It was hot.
You do, like, the cause goes so far in the other direction because of people use you an example as, right, as right. the danger. Like,
we lost
this.
A good one. More car lanes. This
he had
fat
so
fuck tried
much
to use
more
a bike.
To do.
Yeah. Also, I've been going to the gym more lately. You go into the gym, the amount of people sitting on exercise bikes
yes.
in an air-conditioned room in the most beautiful
exercise
weather
bikes,
in America.
Exercise bikes, treadmills. Yeah, it must be a cliched thing to say at this
it
point,
is,
but it's like 72 degrees outside. Just give people places to do it. I don't even blame them.
Right,
they don't have
a
place to do it except this little air-conditioned room.
Because they don't have room in their apartment to even put up a stationary
yes.
bike. They don't have the extra money to buy a stationary bike, so they
right.
have to go to a gym that they can barely afford.
But the distance they bike, they could go up and down like the one, go out to the Pacific Coast Highway and go up and down their most beautiful
right, the
road
most,
in the world.
The legendary fucking road that everyone yes. writes songs about. You could just ride it on your bike if,
yes.
if you had
and
the
instead,
ability.
Yeah, they have this MSNBC.
Drive
on.
To a gym. Choose a gym because it has good parking. I pay parking at 24 Hour Fitness, the one in the Arc Light. I got to pay $3 with validation.
It sucks.
So I'm like, oh, membership's only $40 a month. Great. Now I'm like, the more I go, the more it costs me.
It's dystopia.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right. Just wanted to say I went to the gym. All right. Bye, shitheads.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.